Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
No, you weren't, Mike Tomlin. Good afternoon, everybody. Steelers blown out by the Chargers. 10 points was really three, a cosmetic, empty calorie touchdown late. One of the worst offensive performances we've seen by the Steelers in years, and that's really saying something. So let's get right to it. Donnie Football here. Intern Jack is mining the phones here, manning the phones, so we'll get to those calls right off the bat. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Malzi is across from me. I've heard a lot of what's been said today. I haven't slept. I did the showdown last night. Got home at 1:30, watched all of the games that I missed, got caught up, and I was also wired and addled because I drove my wife's car through our garage door last night.
What?
Yeah.
You drove?
Yeah, let that, you could say it again to repeat it for effect.
You were addled because you drove your wife's car
through our garage door.
Not under, after the door had gone up, as is tradition.
Yeah.
Through.
Yep.
So garage door caved in.
No, it's not completely ruined. We actually dodged a bullet there. But
how?
It was dented and it was off the track and everything.
But how is my only question?
Well, she has a newer car and the new cars have the radar on the back of it, the camera that tells you if there's something behind you, and then you get an alert. Sometimes it even like
so you were
pumps
backing
the brakes
this
for
car
you.
In.
I was backing it out to leave.
Backing it out?
Yeah.
And you had not put the door up yet?
The door was in the process of going up.
And you just couldn't wait?
I thought it was already up, but it wasn't. And I was able to reverse the car because it was high enough up where the camera couldn't tell that the door was still there. So I just smashed the top of her car into it. Yeah.
I'm utterly speechless. Sometimes you tell a story, and I know you're waiting if I've got like a slick Malzi one-liner to throw your way.
You could text her and ask her. Nothing that I said so far is an exaggeration or hyperbole whatsoever.
I believe you. I'm just saying it is jaw-dropping levels of ineptitude there by you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Inglewood display from the Steelers was bad
last
night.
And it was her
night.
Car.
This
if it was
worse.
Mine, it would be bad enough. But
this
it was
is worse.
So I was saying...
And you're saying it's because of the camera on her car.
Yeah. The camera, that's... That's a blind spot for the camera, literally.
A blind spot
can't tell
for you
the top.
Is apparently you have never... Donnie, just very quickly...
Oh, my God.
In your life, have you ever heard of somebody just saying, well, I put the garage up and backed out too quickly?
People have hit garage doors before. I guarantee you if I open up the phone lines, have you backed up into your garage or garage door? 412-928-9370. We're going to find people that have done the same thing as me. It's a common thing. It happens to the best of us. All right?
He sounds more like a guy that needs Blue Chew, Donnie. It's common. It happens to everybody once in a while.
Listen.
Yes.
I agree and I disagree with the common sentiment coming out of this game. I do agree that quarterbacks are allowed to have a bad game. Obviously. Even guys that win the MVP. If we went back and looked at Josh Allen last year, we're going to find one or two lousy games. Lamar Jackson 2 years ago, intern Jack doesn't want to believe it, but it's true, did not play flawless football for 17 weeks. It happens. You're allowed a mulligan or two.
Wait, did you already say Josh Allen yesterday?
No, I said last year when he won the MVP. And yesterday he was bad.
He stunk.
Okay?
Yeah.
It happens.
Okay, sure.
However, This was not your run-of-the-mill bad game. This bad left the station hours before this game. I went back and looked at the numbers. It's worse than anything Kenny ever did. It's worse than Duck Hodges. Duck went there and scored 24 points. He had, with just basically change left, garbage time in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They had 3 points, and he had completed Aaron Rodgers 40% of his passes. Chris, his QBR in the game was 4. It was 4. And just
that's something you should avoid.
Don't even use the stats. Just go by what your eyes as a Steelers fan and football fan tell you. We have seen ever, I would say, start the odometer at Ben's elbow injury in 2019. And then take into account every game by every quarterback that's been played since.
Yes.
Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, old man Ben, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph again, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph again, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers. Last night's the worst one I've seen played.
I only think it has one competitor in that entire pantheon of games. I don't think that there is one that's close. Kenny against DTR and the Browns.
That got Canada fired.
Canada fired and was going to get Kenny benched based on the decision they had to make after the game.
But
is the only one that called to mind last night's futility.
But even then, you could, if you wanted to be charitable to Kenny, and I know you don't, and that's fine, that was at least a quasi-weather game. Like, no one, now they sucked too, but that was not really a day that was
This was in mint conditions,
because yes.
Every game's a mint condition game there. That was definitely one of the things I took away from it, was that he was this bad in a situation where at least the usually not controllables, the elements, are not a factor.
So
the
how
track
could any,
is fast, the weather is good, etc.
So how could anybody just chalk this up to, hey, he's allowed to have a bad game? When you're 41 years old and you're playing football, when basically all of your peers except Tom Brady have shut it down,
mm-hmm,
and aren't playing anymore because they're old and not good enough, I have to wonder about what's going on with him after a game like that. Because there are things so wide receivers didn't catch balls. The offensive line wasn't great. Some questionable play decision-making in terms of how much they ran the ball. All those things are true. But if you came out of this game with anything other than Aaron Rodgers sucked and was the reason why they lost, well, then you're just trying to, you know, take up for Aaron Rodgers and be an Aaron Rodgers apologist. That is the end-all, be-all to this game. And I don't think we can just treat it as, well, he'll get back on the horse and be fine after that. He's allowed one bad game.
Did you feel like that there was a group of people or a decent body of fans that was trying to just slough it off as no big shakes?
No, I told you, I've listened. I mean, the morning show.
Are
the
you
whole,
saying from fans or from hosts?
I feel like I feel like it was pretty, I think it's split. Like, I don't think it's one consensus.
No.
But there are
like
people out there, including hosts on our station, that are saying things like, hey, give him a free pass last night. No.
Well, I definitely don't give him a free pass. I think what's up for debate is, like, is this going to continue into the future? But there are...
You feel good about his future?
No, I don't feel good about him at all right now. There are probably 2 games for certain of their 5 wins that I would chalk up primarily to him being really good in situations where Steelers quarterbacks have often been bad.
Jets game week 1.
Jets game. And then even I didn't like the way they played a lot of the middle chunk of the game. But Patriots game week 3, him getting one drive when he had to have it, was like a big, okay, like kind of pull yourself up by the bootstraps. It was probably the way in which he went about it being bad and the lack of excuses you can make. With Kenny, I could always say he was overdrafted. B, he just has not played enough football. Like, you could fool him with stuff, right?
Worst offensive coordinator.
Worst offensive
known to
coordinator.
Mankind.
Frankly, just doesn't have the physical tools for the position to be elite. Has to be great at all the little stuff and all, like, the knowledge-based stuff. With Rodgers, the arm is still absolutely the arm. He's shown an ability to move around sometimes and avoid pressure. And we know that you're not going to fool him with whatever defensive look you're going to show him, because he knows what you're trying to do. This was just miss after miss after miss. And on some of them, it started to feel like he did something that I haven't really seen him do. In fact, I've seen him do the opposite more often than not.
Does it begin with a, B and end with an S?
It's a two-word phrase. Business?
Yes.
Decisions were made. He threw the ball in the flat to Gainwell that just looked horrible later in the game.
Third down play before
and
the fourth down.
I described it to somebody else in our building today as if me or you were transported into a quarter into his body at that moment in time, and we started throwing that pass with a defender coming our way,
yeah,
we would do the same thing. We'd get the ball out and then turn and please don't hurt me. Except Aaron Rodgers has been doing this for 30 years of his life.
The business decision thing I agree with. Like, I thought his whole body language, the look in his eyes, the way he...
He looked crestfallen when they would go three and out or when he'd miss a throw. He also, he didn't have as much piss and vinegar as I thought he would either.
The other thing I would say, though, that I think is even more concerning than him just deciding randomly last night, get me out of this game in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
He has one of the greatest arms of all time.
He didn't want to throw the Hail Mary.
Throws. Jonnu Smith is wide open. He threw it to him like he was Manute Bull.
The DK ball where he stepped aside from pressure and got himself set is, I think, early in his career, he would probably tell you 95 to 97 times out of 100 he hits that shot.
The Metcalf throw at the end of the first half, the interception where he sails the ball and overthrows
him. You know what happens when you sail the ball, right? You're not stepping into it. And I think I've always equated sailing throws with not wanting to get hit. With knowing that if I step and drive this football the height that I'm supposed to drive it, I might get popped. And I think, was there a single actual miss of his that wasn't long or high? Like, was he really throwing it at guys' feet? I didn't see one.
Or like behind him?
Yeah, he was just throwing the ball over people's heads, and that is a dangerous way to live. And he looked every bit a guy that's about to turn, what, 42?
All right, let me...
He looked as bad as I can imagine him looking.
And let me also say, it's not one game. Did you think he played well against the Colts?
No.
He didn't think so.
No.
Did you think he played well against Green Bay?
No.
Do you think he played well against the Bengals?
I thought he played okay
against
the Bengals. I thought he played good against them,
but everybody does.
Well, everybody plays well against them. I would say okay, though, because I'm building in the Bengals like bump you get as an opposing offensive player.
Right.
They suck on defense.
So that's the last time he played a good game, and it's a team where Justin Fields went in there and had the game of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while since, against a good quality team, he's played well, which was also a problem last year. He has 7 touchdowns to 5 picks in games against teams that are over 500, and he's got 18 touchdowns on the year. So do the math. Most of the damage comes against bad teams.
I mean, he's four touchdowns, no picks against the Jets. Look, Minnesota's not very good. Cleveland's not very good, it turns out. He is 7 touchdowns, no picks in those games.
That's what I mean, man.
It's
alarming.
It's indicative of a player, in my opinion, who, what is he? He's going to turn 42, Pony, by the beginning of December, December 2nd. It's indicative of a player, and I saw this last night, forget who said it, so I want to give credit, but I forget who said it, who was like, look at Russell Wilson, an old guy last year. Started off for the Steelers,
yep,
looking decent through, like, what, 5 or 6 games? And then the play
decent, he looked great.
Well, then the play started to taper off, and you just wonder if it's going to be a sign. And if, by the way, the clearest through line here is against good teams, he doesn't play that well.
They got a lot of them coming up.
That's a bad thing in and of itself, as is. The whole rest of the schedule is just about made out of good teams.
Here's Pete to start us off. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey.
I was at the game last night. I'm currently driving back home to Seattle, and I'm 65 years old, and I've been going to Steeler games since the 80s, and that was the most pathetic offensive performance I've seen. And it was a shame because that stadium was full of Steeler fans. I don't know if you could tell on TV or not.
It showed through on TV.
They didn't feed off that energy whatsoever.
Yeah, and the other thing, I turned to one of my buddies and told him about halfway through the game. I said, Arthur Smith is running an offense like we have a Derrick Henry and an offensive line. You know, and that was just it seemed like it was the same stuff.
So wait a minute, just to make sure I hear this right. You're at the game. You left the game thinking right. that the offensive coordinator did a worse job than the quarterback?
Well, I told one of my other friends, I said, you know, who's a Raiders fan, and I just, you know, he came to the game with us because I've known him for 40 years, and he lives in California. But I told him, I said, our offense is so pathetic because everybody knows what we're going to do.
Okay, that's
but
again, how, that's again, not, the that's, offense that's would have no...
looked, the offense would have looked different if he hits Metcalf on a deep ball for a touchdown
if he
early,
hits Jonnu
if
Smith
hits
when, he's
Jonnu
wide open.
When he's wide open. If he's not missing these throws badly, the game might look
folks,
different.
Folks, I get it. We're conditioned in this town to kill the offensive coordinators. We got Matt Canada run out of town. But, my God.
He was the single biggest problem by a mile last
night. If you can't admit
night.
That Aaron Rodgers was the reason they lost the game, and there's stuff going on with him that concerns you, then I want whatever you're on to help me through this right now because I backed into my garage door, my wife's furious with me, and I think my quarterback is cooked.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you assess Aaron's performance today?
How would you? Next.
Listen to the PM Team on Demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch us now on X. Go to the 93.7 The Fan Twitter page, and pinned there is a live stream of our show that runs live all day, even during the breaks, where you can see us snicker and make faces at each other and laugh at inside jokes and whatnot.
and the popular thing that's now taken over the YouTube stream and X streamers can watch this is... Apparently, I do the defensive coordinator when I'm really laughing, when I'm really telling a yarn. I put the old paper in front of the mouth or the hat. So you can guess at what I might be saying when I have my hat over my mouth.
Tomlin didn't even want to analyze the Rodgers performance last
night.
That's how bad it was.
He answered, that was the most, you watch those same as I do. Is that the most pissed off you've seen him after a game in a while? Tomlin.
Yeah.
Like he usually... will give a bit of a chastened response. He wanted to give Jesse Minner his props, and that was about it. And then he didn't want to be there. That was obvious. He spoke about the collective over and over again, and I understand why somebody asked the question, because you're not like maybe wanting him to get on the record ripping his quarterback, but he like would not specify why the offense stunk. And I just got the sense he wanted to protect Aaron Rodgers there.
I just have an issue anytime a team plays like crap, and then the coach afterwards wants to get tough with reporters. How about your team shows that on the field? You're going to take it out, or you're going to like try to act like you're a big tough guy? Yeah, you're going to like try to intimidate the Alan Saunders and Ray Fittipaldos of the world? Buddy, how about your team intimidates the other team that didn't have its offensive tackles? How about you do better than 0-for-9 to start the game on third down? You've got to be, in my opinion... When you play like that, mm-hmm. you've got to be more magnanimous with people after games. You have no business being a word that begins with P that is analogous to jerk.
That is analogous to jerk.
I just can't. You're not the Super Bowl. You're not Bill Belichick anymore. You haven't won a Super Bowl since 2008.
Well, it was kind of a stupid routine when Belichick did it, even after winning Super Bowls. It was still dumb.
And they weren't dumb questions.
No.
It was just your boilerplate. How did you think your quarterback played? He thought it was a leading question because the guy already knew Rodgers played bad and he was trying to like play gotcha games with Mike? No, he wasn't. We want to actually hear you just tell us, in your opinion, was it all his fault? What else ticked you off from their offense. I don't know.
You
there's any
that,
number of ways to take that.
You can answer that question easily by saying, I did not think he had a good game. I also think we could have done this, this, and this. But yeah, he clearly... Also, by the way, I will say, by answering it the way he did, with the sneer that is a very memeable picture of him that I grabbed, he did answer it. The subtext of that answer is he played like absolute expletive
deleted. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all.
The subtext there is almost more like, I bet you if I were Rodgers, I'd probably want to hear him just say, yeah, he played horribly.
Here's Donnie, not football, but Donnie on the turnpike. Hello, Donnie.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Got to take us off speakerphone. Can you do that?
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Yep. One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
You got to give him a little bit more.
All right, guys.
Okay, there we go. Much better, Donnie.
All right. Yeah, Mike Tomlin, I mean, he's got to go. He stands there with that same stupid look on his face on the sidelines, and then he tries to get tough with reporters, like you say, after the game when the team stinks. Broderick Jones is a New York City subway turnstile. He does nothing. He doesn't get in the way of anybody. He can't do anything out there. They need to get rid of him. And well, the defense, $160 million. Come on.
Yeah, again, though, no, I'm not trying to pick a fight with you, Donnie, but it's the same thing. It's tackle's
Rogers'
fault. It's everybody's fault but the quarterback. Is our listeners incapable of saying this quarterback stunk and there might be major problems with him on the horizon? Is it that hard? Am I overselling how bad he was last night? You seem to not disagree with me.
No, he was.
You tell me if I was wrong.
Seen him. No, I am a little surprised that the first caller was saying it's Arthur Smith's fault. The second caller says it's Mike Tomlin
and Broderick Jones,
specifically the left tackle's fault. I'm waiting to hear what the next caller is going to say. Guys, you can pin this one squarely on Connor Hayward. I mean, what, is Boswell going to get crap for missing a field goal for once in his life?
He's built up equity here because, for the most part, he's been the Steelers' best player overall offensively for the season. It's obviously not a very high bar to clear because the offense has been, overall, I would say at this point now, mediocre
he's
at
responsible
best.
He's the reason that they won two games that easily could have gone the other way, Jets and Patriots, okay? He is inarguably the biggest reason they lost this game, which despite how lopsided it got late, if he plays better, is a much different game that they might even win.
It was an imminently winnable game. I disagree with Tomlin that it was like a masterpiece defensive performance. No, your team offensively sucked. You guys left plays on the table. It wasn't like the Colts
Jesse Minter
look at the Steelers and say, well, they just showed up here and played a classic defensive game.
Jesse Minter did not have guys running completely covered. It wasn't like the Steelers couldn't do anything. Well, throw your hands up. What do you expect us to do? There were plays to be made there that the quarterback did not make. Not even close. It's on him. You're allowed to say it. He's going to be in the upper room of the Hall of Fame. He played an absolute stinker of a game.
Dave in North Huntington. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I agree with you. Rodgers was horrible. But at the same time, not to make excuses, he didn't have a whole hell of a lot of help. I mean, it was all on him. He missed open receivers and things. He did get smacked a couple times. And like the previous caller said, Broderick Jones, I mean, I can't blame him completely because he is older. He's feeling those hits. You know that. And yeah, he definitely was gun shy further into that game. But they did not. His receivers and things did not help him out either early in the game. And just, there are some bad play calls. Third and two, why are you passing the ball whenever you just ran the ball fantastic for the last three plays in a row?
Okay, but I could just as easily say you're up 3-0 in the game and you take a horrible safety where you have no business holding onto the ball that long on a play. And you gave them life.
Yeah, but at
That's
the same
fault.
Time, Faltano knocked it out of his hand.
Hold on, no. Stop. He knocked it out of his hands because Rodgers did not know where he wanted to go, Dave. And on that play, before the safety even happens, Rodgers had at least Pat Freiermuth open.
I was just going to say that.
Had Kenneth Gainwell open, having crossed his defender's face, probably for a big gain if Rodgers puts the ball on the money. Both of those options are available to him. You do not have to look far. You could go watch the game again
Thank
and watch
you,
the coach's film. He's got open receivers, and he's not pulling the trigger. That is not Troy Fautanu's fault. He ran. If PFF charts sacks the way I think they do, which is if the quarterback runs into one that's otherwise not there, they give it to him and not a lineman. That is a quarterback sacking himself.
Donnie,
there.
Where do you come down on this debate so far? Was it everybody? Was it more the offensive play calling and the guys around him, or was it an Aaron Rodgers bad game?
I thought it was an Aaron Rodgers bad game. I mean, he looked so uncomfortable from the very first play that they had. It wasn't like it was something that just clicked all of a sudden into the game. He just looked off kilter pretty much all night. I mean, far and away the worst Steeler game he's had. Isn't it the worst game of his career?
It's in the team picture for worst game. He's got a couple like in Buffalo at the end of last year, he was awful. He's had a couple of weather games in Buffalo late in seasons where he's played, horrible. He had that game against the Saints that got moved because of a hurricane a few years ago to start the season where I think he had a career high interceptions. He had a COVID game against the Bucks where they got blown out and he threw, I think, three picks and had under 200 yards.
Like three or four. Yeah. Has he ever had a game this bad in a dome, though? Like where it should be as close to perfect conditions for him to play the position as possible. Not that he's ever really been a guy, determined by the elements because he played in Green Bay all those years.
No.
I can't remember him.
Jacksonville was probably decent weather the first.
But I can't remember him on a fast track, where everything should be kind of static, looking this bad. And he did. I am sort of surprised at the reaction from some of our callers that, hey, they might not speak for everybody, but like the rush to say, well, this, that, and the other thing were also contributing factors. Nah, man. Like Broderick Jones got beat on one play early. He got his man moved to the inside. Rodgers slid to avoid the pressure. And then there was a yawning open space for him to throw a deep touchdown and change the game early.
It's honestly the kind of grace that Ben Roethlisberger got a lot of the times with fans, which I understood because he won championships here. Aaron Rodgers has won nothing for us. He's gotten us off to a 5-4 start halfway through his one season here. Kenny Pickett, obviously with some people, had, loyalists and apologists that would make every excuse for him. But I would say, by and large, the hoi polloi didn't just like give him all kinds of outs and excuses and alibis for playing the way that he did.
Here's a theory. I have a theory on this that just popped into my head. I wonder if there's a desire not to crush Rodgers for exactly what we saw him do, which was play a horrible game, because people are kind of worried, what does that mean going forward? Like, you don't want to acknowledge something that you think might be true because it portends bad things.
Why?
We
just had a guy call up and say Broderick Jones stinks. That's a pretty big deal if he's bad. Well, I mean, your left tackle you drafted in the first round being
that.
A problem.
You'll work around it. You'll find a way around it. If you think your
left tackle, it's the second most important position on offense.
If you think your quarterback is completely shot to hell, then...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You probably don't feel like they're...
At 2:42, it is time for the PM Team Plays of the Game. Time brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. It's time to check out Lynch Golf Sales. All right, let's get right to it. Get back to your phone calls here in a minute as well. Malzi is offering up this as his play of the game.
Deion Henley, quarterback of the defense, moving Derwin James to the top of the screen. Rodgers has it, flushed, found space, flinging downfield for DK Metcalf. Missed him by a half step. Oh, Aaron's eyes got wide. Saw Metcalf breaking. Just miss.
He's an upper room Hall of Famer. He's got to make that throw. He made a nice play to sidestep some pressure, which was coming from Broderick Jones's side. I know Broderick Jones should be cast out of the city and probably, in the NFL for good. Should be out of the NFL for good. Rodgers hits that throw. It's a different football game. Boswell makes a 59-yarder on the next play, and so they get 3 points out of it. If they get 7, it's a very different opening look, and he maybe has a little more confidence, makes more of these throws later, but... In a game that I think we have correctly on this show defined, or identified as being, excuse me, Pony, defined by Rodgers' failures, that was probably the single biggest one of them. And so that's why it's the play of the game, a negative play from a quarterback that I'm not accustomed to seeing make them.
I also think it plays into Tomlin's overall philosophy, which is we're going to win with defense. Their tackles are out. And we're going to play off the crowd here, and they're not going to be able to hear themselves think, and we're going to dominate defensively. And that's why, even though a couple of weeks ago he killed the offense for settling for field goals against Jordan Love and the Packers, he absolutely, electively loved the idea of just sending Boswell out there to make that a 3-0 game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could go for it, try to put your foot on the throat of the Chargers early, and try to turn that possession into a touchdown and go up 7-0, but he still got that conservative, defensive-minded approach to things. It only goes for it on fourth down when he absolutely 100% has to do it.
And the prospect of the game ending like 6-5 probably had his heart skipping a beat when that was on the table.
Oh, remember college? Who somebody said, he's like, these two guys love this game. Maybe Tirico said that. If there's two guys who love a 3-2
it's these two.
Or 5-3 game, it's these two guys
Tirico
right here.
Tirico hit that outrageously good line about Kings-Penguins ending 3-2, which I thought he deserved credit for. By the way, just as an aside, I actually am in maybe the minority in this city, in most cities. I think Collinsworth usually does a pretty good job. He was wretched last night.
Aaron Rodgers, you can tell the way he talks about it. Said they were trying to move him to tackle. And I don't think Aaron let it happen. Like, he knew what he had, and he has really been getting to him.
Not just these, like, whack-ass stories he's telling. He's getting player names wrong
and
all
Bud
over
Dupree
the map.
And Bud Dupree went up to him and said, hey, here's my old teammate, Aaron Rodgers, right here.
He sucked
Did you hear
last
that,
Tom? Night.
I heard that one.
He was so
And Bud Dupree he said, hey, good bad. To see you again,
he had
Aaron.
He had one very late in the game where he messed up a first name and last name.
Didn't he say, like, somebody, he called somebody Johnson or something? He was as bad as I have ever heard him. And then he was doing the whole Snoop Dogg thing, and Tirico looked like genuinely pained watching it. Oh, it was terrible by Collinsworth.
Yeah, big missed opportunity early for Rodgers. Here is Donnie's play of the game.
Second down in the middle. High for Metcalf, intercepted. He threw it too high, and R.J. Nickens, the rookie, has his second career pick. And he's got one from a future Hall of Famer who doesn't throw many.
We saw the Steelers do this to the Colts last week and kind of put their stamp on that game. They got a big interception late in the first half, and then they immediately went down and made it count. The defense was then tasked with the, hey, we got to protect a short field. They couldn't do so. Herbert, McConkey hook up, and it's a two-score game going into the locker room. And that just felt with the way Aaron Rodgers was playing that it was going to be too much, and it was.
So, I like that one. Not what I ended up going with, though. So, even after that end of the first half blunder by Rodgers, The Chargers get the ball to start the second half. They punt. Steelers punt. Dicker makes a 59-yard field goal. It's 15-3.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers punt. Dicker misses a 55-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that missed field goal was just the opening the Steelers needed to get back in the game. Warren makes a play. They're in the red zone. They're moving the ball. And then they stall out, and it's fourth down. And they can still get a first down. They don't have to throw the ball to the end zone. It's fourth down, and this is what happened.
Deion Henley, quarterback of the defense, moving Derwin James to the top of the screen.
All right, Rodgers, that's the one we already played.
I mean, we can listen to Aaron Rodgers miss
Steelers
Metcalf deep again.
Last in the league in fourth down attempts and conversions. Only 3 of 6 on the year. Chargers bring 4. Rodgers, back shoulder throw. Incomplete for Metcalf. Ham Hart, second-year man out of Notre Dame, gave him no space. And the Chargers defense comes up with a stop.
I don't like the play call. I don't care for the execution of it. Both ways, it was screwed. Fade to Metcalf, but he's covered with two guys.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't even a thought to go anywhere else with the ball. Rodgers made his mind up pre-snap and pre-play what he was going to do.
Correct.
And it wasn't there. Like, that's something I expect Mitch Trubisky to do, where he doesn't even like let the play unfold. He just picks a guy, locks in on him, and forces the ball there.
I think Rodgers
I don't expect
was comfy
that from Aaron Rodgers.
I think he was comfy doing that yesterday. I am reeling from how, not real, reeling's not the right word, then like emotionally affect me. As an observer of him and what he's, I think, in balance been up until maybe this game, it was just jarring to see somebody be that bad who you don't expect it from. I expected Mitch to suck. And you see enough Mitch Trubisky games, you kind of know what's coming. After a while, it was pretty obvious what Kenny was going to give you or not give you.
Yep.
This is a dude who, when he's on, is still throwing laser beams.
That was our PM team plays of the game segment. We're getting texts that the real reason why the Chargers won was because Jim Harbaugh apparently is obsessed with the song The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Did you know that?
I did not.
And today is the 50th anniversary of that.
And legend lives on, bro.
And he played it for the team the night before and told them what a...
About like, the guys yes. on the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we knew that going in, then a Steelers blowout was well in the cards.
Can you imagine?
I mean, the legend lives on from the Chippewa on down. The Chargers are about to kick your ass. That's the tune he was
singing. Big Lake they call Gitchagumi. Can you imagine being a player on that team who like grew up in Louisiana or Florida, just somewhere nowhere near Lake Superior, right? Like totally different world. And he's just like going on and on about this freighter that wrecked 50 years ago.
He was quoted as saying this song is a real toe tapper.
A toe tapper?
The gales of November, remember. Jim Harbaugh.
What did like the whole team like fist bump in tears? The old cook came on deck and said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." And
he's got Ramsey,
you know, he's got
Jalen Ramsey can fire up the Steelers before the Colts game. Why can't Jim Harbaugh do the same thing with the metaphors and
Lightfoot did write a banger of that song? He wrote a banger, man. That thing's also like taken off. Don't you feel like it's had a second life, Donnie? Like that song.
I mean, maybe thanks to me.
But I feel like
I play it like once
I feel
a week
like
in the back.
Now on this day every year, but especially this year,
50th anniversary,
people are just ultra fired up about, hey, those sailors were brave. I'm just saying, like, people know the Maritime Sailors Cathedral. They know it.
All right. Here are our listeners, starting with Will in Texas. Hello, Will.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
To me, it looked like Rodgers wanted to be anywhere else, but playing that game last night. It looked like he wanted to be at his Malibu beach house, walking on the beach with his phantom wife. That's what it looked like to me.
Wait a minute. What is this phantom wife reference? Is there a story about his wife being make-believe that I missed? Or is this just Will
I think there's a New York... I saw an article or something like that on Twitter saying that he's getting Manti Te'o allegations that there's no wife or
wait,
that
okay.
I've seen on Twitter.
People thank say, you, Will. I need Donnie to interject
Will
here with this.
Will is onto something. I did see the tweet he's talking about yesterday. New York Post put it out that none of these Steelers wags, which are wives and girlfriends,
yes.
for those of you at home, none of them know the Aaron Rodgers wife. None of them have ever seen a picture, have met her. And listen, when a woman has to find something, it's like they turn into a CIA agent.
Correct. That's a very good way of putting it.
Like you give them a name and maybe, or you give them a first name and maybe one other little tiny piece of info.
Yeah.
They're found.
They can't
apparently
find this lady.
Apparently nobody can figure out who
now,
this person
I
is.
I thought his wife was supposed to be that like practicing witch.
Now, this is actually interesting because I got several text messages last night. And I didn't go because I was so like in my feelings from both the car into the garage door mistake I made and just watching the Steelers play that I didn't go and look this up.
Yeah.
But I had multiple texts last night that said, do you think Rodgers, basically saying, do you think Rodgers is rattled because this New York Post story is out about him?
About him having a phantom spouse.
That he is not in his normal kind of zen place for a game because there's something out there. I didn't know what it was. I didn't put two and two together until just now.
Man, the New
you
York...
You buying that? And his zen might have been thrown off by this?
And women in the group, like the wags of the Steelers, they want to invite her to a game. Like, you know, they're all sitting in
they
a
want her in
together.
The click
they
in the
all
club.
Sit in a suite, yeah. And one of the quotes in the article was, she's like a phantom. We all want to meet her, invite her out, get to know her. We haven't met her yet. We don't even know who she is.
Is this one of those
situations?
Are they
speculating that they're not even sure she exists, though? Yes. There's a difference between we don't know who she is, we haven't met her.
Oh, yeah. Is this one of those, oh, my girlfriend from Canada.
She doesn't want to hang out with you guys.
I mean, I get that sort of vibe.
Wow.
And it was also a very private wedding, allegedly.
Yeah. And his family wasn't involved in any of it,
well,
as we know.
That's not exactly it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.